We're checking in on Wisconsin's museums and cultural institutions to see how they're faring as they've reopened their doors to patrons with variety of safety protocols in place. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. With hundreds of museums in our state, they each have to develop that own path forward and how to safely do this with declining revenue and reduced admissions. Do you work or volunteer at a museum? How has the pandemic affected operations? How is your next fiscal year budget shaping up? It's 800-642-1234. Greg Vadney is president of the Wisconsin Federation of Museums. He's also executive director of the Rahr West Art Museum in Manitowoc. Greg, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks, Kate. It's always great to talk with you.
Well, Greg, how are museums adjusting, especially as we see the higher levels of COVID cases now and the Delta variant?
Well, I'd say, adjusting is probably the name of the game and has been for over 18 months now. And museums are making adjustments right now as, the news report just talked about different discussions going on in different school districts. Obviously, museums are focusing their attention on making sure that when people come in, that we aren't going to be a harbinger for the spread of this disease. So different places in different, certainly different areas, depending on what they're seeing from their local health resources, are making some adaptations, mostly with mask mandates. And we are obviously adjusting.
Yeah,
have been.
I would imagine lots of discussions going on in the museum community with your fellow museums, like how you navigate this, how you do this. There must be so many questions.
Yeah, and like I said, each region definitely has its own, not only, health, but its, political and community considerations that unfortunately we all have to take into consideration as we're making these decisions going forward. For the most part, I will say that museums are back and open. And really, early summer, the news that we got was pretty positive. Many museums had gotten up near, or in some cases beyond, their pre-pandemic attendance numbers. So it seemed like a bounce back was taking place.
Yeah, I mean, summer is that critical season for towns that really rely on tourism and museums being a critical component of that.
Absolutely. One of the things, in the museum world, we always, we talk about being part of the larger tourism world. We also want to make sure that we extend beyond that and really do serve our communities whenever possible. And in many cases, year-round, when maybe tourism isn't that much of an impact in our communities, we want the museum to continue to be an impactful part of the community. But we have realized during this COVID time of just how important museums are to tourism and how important tourism is to making sure our museums are thriving.
Putting on exhibits, though, it takes money, it takes people, it takes time. How has that been, and actually, getting these exhibits to fruition?
Well, yeah, and for many museums, even with closures over the past year, the head is down, and we are still working towards new exhibitions, new programming, physical changes to museums. So we're still looking ahead to keep our museums not only operating but thriving and benefiting our larger communities. And you just hit upon the two major things that are always the two major things, which are how are we paying the bills and who's working here and can we keep the people working here? And those continue to be challenges, and they've really been exacerbated with COVID. And as we are trying to work through recovery post-COVID, certainly setting budgets and being uncertain, and certainly looking at the lower normal revenue numbers than museums would have gotten over the past 18 months, It's daunting looking forward. But the other thing that you talked about is personnel. And personnel is the real question mark that I'm hearing from museums. We're seeing a lot of, not only a lot of people who have been let go, but we're seeing a lot of people, especially in management level, moving to things outside of the museum world. Different opportunities that might be perceived as more secure. Some early retirements, people who obviously have a sense of exhaustion, and people who have a sense of uncertainty in the field.
So what I'm hearing from you is that the wider labor force challenges that have been so present in our economy are also hitting the museum world in Wisconsin.
Well, definitely, they're hitting the museum world like any other industry, and it almost, I can't swear to the numbers, but it seems like it's hitting us in a really bad way, maybe even worse than many other industries.
We're talking about how museums have adapted in these times with Greg Badney. He leads the Wisconsin Federation of Museums. He's executive director of the Rahr West Art Museum in Manitowoc. What do you want to know about the financial undertaking, the accreditation of museums? How do you think museums are doing in your community? Join in 800-642-1234. Greg, I'm wondering, and I know this is kind of a gloom and doom question, but have museums closed in Wisconsin? Have you talked with museums that aren't going to make it?
That aren't reopening? I haven't talked to any museums that are closing.
Okay.
It's possible that there are some that might not be members of the Wisconsin Federation of Museums that have shuttered and might be thinking of that permanently. And to get away from the gloom and doom and give a little bit of a ray of sunshine, you know, the one thing is that we have seen both on the federal and state level a commitment to provide funding for museums.
Mm.
And that's good. It's unfortunate that it took like being at the precipice of losing them that we finally are seeing some more reasonable monetary numbers being put forth towards museums through recovery grants and the CARES grant before that. But it has been a lifesaver for many museums, and it continues to be. And I think we've been pretty fortunate that as part of the, for instance, the CARES Act, that a significant portion was allocated for cultural organizations by the state.
Well, I want to ask you about that because we've also seen the federal pandemic aid through the shuttered venue operator grants. And at last check, 738 museum operators have received these grants so far. That was data from this week from the SBA, the Small Business Administration. This is a $16 billion program. Have you seen these shuttered venue operator grants going into Wisconsin?
I have. And
okay.
The shuttered venue grant, we were really pleased. The American Alliance of Museums had taken a lead, and certainly all of our state organizations were following, in supporting the inclusion of museums, which fortunately was a late inclusion into the shuttered venue. There are, for some of our larger museum members, that's a huge benefit. One of the issues for museums is that to qualify, you needed to have fixed seating.
Yeah, a performance
in auditorium.
Auditorium.
Mm-hmm. You had to have something with fixed seating, and so many of our museums will have modified gallery spaces that will fluctuate into those, so they didn't qualify for those. But American Rescue Plan funds have been separated out for museums specifically, and through the Wisconsin Arts Board and Wisconsin's Humanity Council, there are available grants that have been supporting museums. And crucially, for any of the listeners that are involved in the museum world, they still will be considering new museum grant applications this fall.
Greg Badney, president of the Wisconsin Federation of Museums, as we check in on how the museum community is holding up. Are you supporting your local cultural institution? How are the ones in your community doing? What have you heard? Is there a recent exhibit that you checked out in person? what was it like to go back into a beautiful cultural public space? Join in with a shout out to your special museum, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Greg Badney here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're taking stock of the museum world in Wisconsin, what it's like to reopen and launch new exhibits and work to bring attendance up to pre-pandemic levels, all the while keeping those safety protocols in place. We have Greg Badney, who is walking this fine line as executive director of the Rahr West Art Museum, president of the Wisconsin Federation of Museums. Did you try virtual programming through museums? What did you take away from it? Has a local museum recently closed or is struggling to reopen? Or are you concerned that one might not make it near you? Join in 800-642-1234. Greg Badney with us for about 10 more minutes. So, Greg, what, I know you're talking there about the labor shortages that you're having with the museums. What about volunteerism? Volunteers have also always been like a kind of a heartbeat within the museums, docents. Has that been a struggle?
It's been, I think, a mixed bag. In some cases, I've heard from different museums that they are really struggling to bring people back. In other cases, certainly in the early or late spring, what I heard from a few museums is that their volunteer cadre, if you will, who had gotten vaccinated early on, a lot of them at retirement age or older, were itching to get back. And mm-hmm. that was one of the struggles that they had, was to kind of pull back on the reins with volunteers and make sure that they were bringing volunteers back in a safe way. And I think it depends on the different museums. So I have heard both. On the one hand, people really itching to get back in certain areas and wanting to contribute, and the museum kind of staff and structure being, worried about bringing so many people in. On the flip side, other places that they just aren't seeing their volunteers return, the same as in some cases not seeing staff wanting to return.
We saw, earlier on in the pandemic about museums offering virtual experiences, virtual programming, showing their collections online. Is there still movement for virtual museum experiences?
I think so. And I think museums kind of in some ways have been pushed in that direction. Now, I won't speak for all museums because some museums are really on the cutting edge of virtual learning and programming. But many of our museums are really tech averse. And one of the, silver linings is that some of us have been forced into doing more virtual programming to a point where now, even when they're reopening, they're going to continuously complement the in-person with virtual components. And I can say even statewide, our museum's Evolving Conference is going to be a virtual conference this year. We're co-hosting a conference, Wisconsin Federation of Museums is, with the Association of Midwest Museums. And we'll be doing it as a virtual conference November 1st through 5th. And that's also, again, to understanding that the added cost of travel is probably not something that many museums can bear right now. The other thing is that a lot of these newly opened, not only public granting programs, but we've seen a lot of private organizations and foundations that are doing grants, but many of them have virtual components. So whether they are using the grant as a motivating factor, or whether it's been COVID as a motivating factor, a lot of museums are doing a lot more online.
Yeah, so certainly those online services and opportunities starting to become part of that DNA. We're checking in on how museums across our state have navigated these times, adapted their spaces. Greg Badney, president of the Wisconsin Federation of Museums. You can join in 800-642-1234. So, Greg, the Rahr West Art Museum, close to home for you as executive director, you recently received reaccreditation from the American Alliance of Museums. What is the significance of that?
Well, you know, I guess the easiest way to put it is it's kind of like a good housekeeping seal of approval for museums. It is a multi-year process. It is it's an arduous process of assessment that we've gone through. We have been accredited since the early 2000s, and reaccreditation happens just about every 10 years. And you know, we started the accreditation process well before COVID, and then had a few delays because of COVID. So it was exhaustive. I believe it's less than 3% of museums in the country that have accreditation.
Wow.
Through the American Alliance of Museums. So it is a huge feather in our cap at the RAR West. And I'd be remiss if I didn't give a shout out to my neighbors just down the street at the Maritime Museum in Manitowoc. Manitowoc is one of only three cities, with Milwaukee and Madison, that has multiple accredited museums in the state. So we're really proud of that.
You know, usually with accreditation, there are on-site tours, on-site museums. Was that having to be adapted for the process?
Well, most of the on-site was done prior.
Ah,
so we didn't have to deal with that. But our office, to be able to go back and forth with AAM in D.C. area, we didn't have the staffing to be able to continue to go through the process for a little while. We had to put that on hold, and they had to put it on hold because they were lacking in staff. So it took a little bit longer than normal to get that all done.
As you've looked inward through your accreditation process and had to look at diversity and inclusion and who gets access to museums, how you think about reaching new audiences, what is your thinking around that?
Yeah, this did come up. I think maybe not necessarily during the process, but concurrently with the process. And that is museums. I think we like to talk about diversity and inclusion and have in a long time and think of ourselves as being on the front foot towards that. I know for my institution, we realized that we were far too passive. So one of the major issues we've had, and I think a lot of art museums have, is that our collection is very white and very male, and does not represent our community as a whole. And so many members of our community who visit us feel like they're not represented. Now, how do we solve that problem is the question. And we were going through what's a collecting plan, so identifying what would we want to add to the collection. And we recognized during that not only do we need artists that represent a more diverse and inclusive background, but we need artists that are living to not only be collected, but also be participants in the museum. And that's important, and an important realization, I guess, for us, because we can do an exhibit on, say, Hmong culture that is close to our community.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're not including Hmong members of our community in the planning process, into the museum as board members and community committee members, then we're not really doing the job of being inclusive.
They need to be part of the fabric of your being.
And also, when it comes to art museums, we've recognized that it's so important, if we're collecting artists of color, that they're living artists and that we're paying them for their artwork, that we're not asking for them to donate to us, that we're taking part in establishing a healthy fiscal environment for artists to thrive. And it's not just enough to say, okay, we're going to show your work for a few months.
Yeah. I want to land on Sputnik Fest in our last moments here, bringing it back
this weekend.
What can you tell us about it?
All right, quickly. The Sputnik story began in 1962 when the Sputnik 4 Soviet spacecraft crash-landed in Wisconsin, and primarily in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. The largest recovered piece was found on North 8th Street, just steps away from the RAR West Art Museum. Just missed us. Missed the building. So every September, we celebrate in a just a very bizarre and wacky way, Sputnik Fest. which is to in honor of that very bizarre happening. So we do essentially a block-wide costume party, and that falls this Saturday. So we'll be doing that on Saturday beginning at noon, and we've got a 5K run walk through our public arts in our downtown area that ends right on the street where Sputnik landed. We've got a great show in the evening with a local performing arts company, Let Me Be Frank Productions out of Green Bay, that is telling a very far from the truth retelling of the Sputnik crash.
I love the tagline and stuff.
It's just a huge block party, and we partner with the Lakeshore Artists Guild, a local group that is doing what they call Art Slam. So there's going to be art as a huge component of this all day long too.
I love the tagline. Sputnik landed here. Why don't you?
Exactly. But don't crash.
Don't crash. Yeah, right. Don't crash. And the vintage logo, I must say, is fabulous. Greg, always good to talk with you. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely, Kate. Thanks a lot.
Greg Vadney, president of the Wisconsin Federation of Museums, executive director of the RAR West Art Museum in Manitowoc. For disclosure, RAR West, a business sponsor of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're spending the hour in Wisconsin's museum world here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Our next stop is the Milwaukee Public Museum. The museum is open and has tips for visitors. Use more than 25 hand sanitizer stations located throughout the museum and maintain a 6-foot distance between groups. They say that's 18 swallowtail butterflies, a fitting unit of measure as the beloved butterfly exhibit is back open. Have you been? It's 800-642-1234 to join in. Ellen Senske is president and CEO of the Milwaukee Public Museum. Ellen, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you for having me.
Good morning. You reopened your physical doors back in March. How is your museum holding up in these times?
You know, we're doing really well. We opened the museum in March, and we put in place all of the protocols to keep not only our visitors but our staff safe. So we have maintained wearing masks throughout and the 6-foot distances. And you mentioned all the hand sanitizer stations, but we also have a our air exchange system is such that we can pull in fresh air and push out the old air, and we have that ramped up so that it's a constant exchange of the air in the building so that we don't have any stagnant air. So we know that we're providing a very safe environment. And if you've been here, you know, it's a large place.
Large, yeah.
And so we've been getting, you know, our visitation has been ramping up through the summer. So we were actually up and on in August, we were actually up at about what we normally get in August. So, you know, it's not the capacity that the museum can take because, you know, people in August want to be outside, especially down by the lake. But we were doing well through the summer. Of course, now with the kids back in school, visitations dropped off somewhat. But we're still, you know, we're hanging in there and providing families with something that's safe and educational and entertaining to do.
How has the reservation system worked out to reserve the ability to go to the museum?
Yeah, so we have online reservations where you go in and you choose the hour you want to come in, and for the most part they're available. So the way we do that is to make sure that again we can space people out in the museum. So it's a very simple system. We also know that there are some people who don't have access to computers and to going online. And so we do allow walk-ups also. We just prefer that you do it online just so that you have an experience that is where it's not a crowded experience. But we do still allow those walk-ups.
there was a lot of excitement, Ellen, about the butterfly wing opening up again. How has that been?
It has been wonderful. People are so thrilled to have to be able to see the butterflies again.
Oh, my kids are bugging me. Like, Mom, we got to go away. We got to go back.
That's right. And we've always limited the number of people in the space because it's not a large space. So we've reduced that capacity just to make sure that that people can maintain their distance. But, you know, the reason why it took longer to open was a couple of things. One, once we closed down, you know, the butterflies, they don't live forever. They have a cycle, and it's much shorter than ours. And in fact, these shipments of butterflies come from butterfly farms around the world. And with the shipments were shut down too. So all of that kind of supply chain was impacted. So, and then we also took the opportunity to change out our misting system and make sure that it was even a much more healthy environment in the butterfly vivarium. So those things just created they were the reason why it opened a little later than some of the other stuff. But we also wanted to know, to figure out how to do this. So through the summer, we've been working to open up everything. And yeah. it gave us a chance to test things out and then reopen different parts of the museum.
Interesting that even butterflies are connected to the supply chain challenges around the world. Yeah.
Yep.
Have you had staffing constraints, staffing issues, as you rev up these museums, open up the wings, and get kind of back in action?
We have not had any problem hiring staff. The first thing is we didn't lay off staff. We furloughed staff, and so we've been bringing those staff back, and then we ran out of those staff. There were a few who... You know, some of these are college kids who went back to to different states. And so we, through the time of shutdown, we did lose a few people, but we've been able to get higher. When we advertise, we've been able to get good staff to come in to, you know, so we've not had a problem thus far. So fingers crossed we will continue. I mean, who doesn't want to work at the museum? So I think it's one of those places that everybody says, well, I'd like to work at the museum. So we have that going for us.
Ellen Senske with us, president and CEO of the Milwaukee Public Museum, as we check in on how museums are coping at this stage of the pandemic. Have you been to a museum recently? What has changed and what was the experience like? 800-642-1234. Ellen, in all of this, you're making plans for your new home. Where are you at with fundraising and site preparation, funding for this new museum complex?
So we are, the first thing I want to say, because people see buildings go up all the time and they go up quickly. This is a long, long process. So, and we're just at the beginning of that process, you know, to build a new museum there are a lot more steps than building an office building. And we have not yet begun our fundraising efforts in force, in that that capital campaign has not yet kicked off. What we've been doing is securing the funding from the state funding, which we are so grateful that the legislature and the governor, that the governor put us in the capital budget and the legislature chose to keep us in that budget. And so that was the first thing. So
$40 million in state funding.
$40 million. That's right. We are just so grateful for that, because that gives confidence to the general public that this can in fact happen. We're now working with the county, to secure funding again for towards that building, and then we'll kick off that capital campaign. You know, in all of our discussions with donors, they want to make sure this only works if it's a public-private venture, and they want to make sure that the public side is secured. So we are working on that. What we have done is we have raised enough money to start into this process. So to purchase the land, which we're so excited, it's at 6th and McKinley, which is just north of that Deer District. We're gonna kind of claim some of that Deer District.
Go ahead. Yes.
Yep. So we will provide that daytime entertainment for all those families who might come down to watch the Bucks at night. They can come to the museum and spend the whole day in the area. But we're excited about that. We're also excited because it's right near a neighborhood, and so it puts us closer to you know, the neighbors that we just want to have so involved in the museum. So we're really excited about that. We have secured the funding to start into the design process. So we have not, that is both exhibit and architectural design.
Yeah, I was going to say, you selected your architecture firms and your exhibit designers, contractors, and that was early this year. How is that work going with these outside vendors?
Yeah, so what we had to do was get those on board first, and we've been doing some behind the scenes, but the design process kicked off just about 3 weeks ago. What we'll be doing in another week is doing a, or 2 weeks, is we're going to take a tour around the state with the design team, mm-hmm. so that they can really immerse themselves in not just the natural history of Wisconsin, but all the different cultures in the state, to really get a deeper understanding of the state and what makes it tick. And we're also going to be meeting with doing some community listening workshops around the state just before we ever put pencil to paper. Mm. We want to do that so that we really are hearing from the communities across the state on the desires and wants. And that will all be focused. We have the vision for that new museum is the stories that lie at the intersection of nature and culture. Mm. And the reason we chose that as a vision is really because the collections that we have support that. And, you know, we're probably the only museum in the state that has the vast natural history collections coupled with those cultural collections that come from around the world. And so we really wanted to say, okay, what makes us different than all the other museums? And that's where that intersection of nature and culture is really. And if you go through the museum, what you'll realize if you go through MPM, mm-hmm. it's exactly what MPM shows. Mm. We didn't. You know, when this building was built and those exhibits were built, it was really that same thing. And you read back on the then president of the museum, and his vision was really, he was using that word the first back in the 60s, the word ecology, which is that it, and that was his vision too. So it really won't be stepping away. It'll just be taking what was done and making it today's story and the future story.
Ellen Senske, leading the Milwaukee Public Museum and its mission, vision, past and present, as we check in on the museum community around Wisconsin in these times. What would you like to share about your visits? How do you feel about the level of reduced capacity? Is your favorite museum doing an advanced reservation system? How is it going? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Ellen Senske here in the Ideas Network. Oh. We're checking in on the museum space here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We talked earlier about the Shuttered Venue Operators Grant Program. The federal aid program for the arts community struggling to stay open has also been a lifeline for not just performance halls, but museums. According to the Small Business Administration's grant data released Tuesday, it's received more than 17,000 applications seeking over $13 billion in funding, with more than 700 museums securing grant awards to date. Ellen Senske is CEO of the Milwaukee Public Museum and with us for about 10 more minutes. Let's go to Dave now in Duluth. Hi, Dave. What's on your mind?
Hi. I'm kind of looking for some virtual work for the girlfriend, and a light bulb went off going, to museum or something in Florida with my kids. I call it Florida homework, keeping up on stuff. And you're going to go somewhere that's cheaper. Some older person saying $14 to get in a place, and a light bulb went off. I thought, there's other virtual volunteer things. They're only like a one-time thing for people in Michigan. And I thought, is there something more virtually she could do, work from home and lead to, other kind of like,
yeah. So are there virtual opportunities to work at museums, or what are the online opportunities? Ellen, can you address that?
Sure. In terms of the opportunities to tour the museum and do programming, we have lots of virtual programming that is available. In terms of working virtually, the behind-the-scenes work that is done, some of that we do virtually, but it's been done virtually only since the museum had to close to the public. And some of the positions, like in the marketing, on the marketing team, a lot of that is done virtually. But then we have all of the positions where taking care of the collections behind the scenes, you need to be
hands-on
in the museum doing that, just like greeting visitors and all of those. So there are some, but it's not a huge percentage of the staffing of a museum that can be virtual.
Dave, thanks. Let's go to Russ in Stoughton. Hi, Russ.
Hi. I've never been to Milwaukee Public Museum, and I was wondering, besides butterflies, what else would I see? And if I make a reservation, how long is the reservation good for?
If you make a reservation and you come in, you can stay until we close. We don't. It's really to pace you into the museum so that everybody is. And in general, people. It's a big museum. It's 150,000 square feet of exhibit space that takes you through life on this earth, through cultures from across the world, and then through there's the second. So the first floor is the basically a biology hall called the Rainforest, which is really about, it's a biological textbook in the form of a two-story rainforest that you walk through, very immersive. Then there's the third planet, which is the geology of this earth. Again, these are all very immersive exhibits. And of course, the streets of old Milwaukee, which is Milwaukee around the turn of the century, around 1900. Second floor is all about North America, both habitats and the Native Americans who inhabited the state. And then the third floor is the cultures of the world. So it is it's something where I think people run out of steam around two hours. But you could stay here for days and not see all of it. So we pace you in, but we don't time you on when you have to leave.
Ellen, are there tour guides at this point in the pandemic?
We still do not have that because, our tour guides are volunteers. And so we are just now starting to work on the plans for bringing back the volunteers so that there are people on the floor. But currently we don't have that.
Another immersive aspect, as we talked about the butterfly wing, can you kind of take us on a mini tour of what we can expect when we see this part of the museum?
So the butterfly wing is it's a room in the museum that's an all glassed-in room that is filled with butterflies from most of them tropical butterflies. And I say most only because some of those tropical butterflies actually get up into like the monarchs go mm-hmm. from Mexico up to Wisconsin. So, but it is filled with those, and it's a very lush, warm, humid environment. In fact, I say if in the wintertime, if you want to go down to the tropics, just come to the butterfly wing and you've had a little vacation to kind of reset you. But it is filled with butterflies flying around at any one time. There are at least 500 butterflies in this room. And they fly, they light on you. It's just a wonderful experience. And then there's also attached to that, there is an exhibit that's called Bugs Alive, which is mm-hmm. a number of other insects that are in terrariums, and so that you can experience other live bugs. And then attached to that is a very large exhibit area that really talks about butterflies, the ecology of butterflies, and we have a few new additions to that, which are what our own research on butterflies and our digitization efforts, so that you can understand what we're doing. And it really, it's a very interactive area for, especially for kids. So
yeah.
That's just one of the wings of the many wings in this museum.
Ellen, I want to land for a moment here on accreditation and the board moving to delay the decision on reaccreditation for another year. Has that delay affected the museum's move to a new location?
No. So that actually is one of the reasons, the reason why. So when you go through accreditation, just like many, many parts of the many types of things like hospitals and universities, museums go through these accreditations. They come up for museums, it's every 10 years that you go mm-hmm. through accreditation. And the reason why the commission tabled us was because of the condition of the building that we're in. And the last time we went through accreditation, also said the condition of the building, you have to do something about it. So 10 years later, we're still in the same building, and they said, okay, now it's really critical. This museum is just not, it's not appropriate for collections, and it's not appropriate for the museum. And so, because it's been deteriorating over time. And so what they did was table us and say that what you need to do in the next year, we only were given a year to make some improvements. And those improvements were, we needed to have a bridge plan to take care of the most vulnerable collections and present
and
be working on that.
We're out of time. Ellen, thank you for joining us. Ellen Senske, president of the Milwaukee Public Museum, here on the Ideas Network.